This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06, and for next story, we are discussing Pakatan Harapan's performance in protecting human rights. So this is after Human Rights Watch released a report which basically said that Malaysia has so far made slow progress on human rights reforms and even backtracked in some areas.
Yeah, so the HRW's World Report 2020 found that, you know, while there have been some positive moves, such as repealing the anti-fake news law or reducing the minimum voting age to 18 years old and also drafting a law to establish the Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission, or IPCMC, there have also been several areas where, you know, the government has been slow to introduce reforms, or, you know, have no reforms at all.
So this includes reform areas such as freedom of expression, where the government has yet to abolish the Sedition Act, the criminal justice system, where the death penalty has been maintained, but with judges having discretion when it comes to sentencing, and the rights of refugees, since Malaysia has yet to ratify the 1951 Refugee Convention, despite hosting more than 150,000 refugees and asylum seekers.
Yeah, I mean, we have, I think internally, like domestically in terms of human rights, there have been positive moves, like the voting age and IPCMC, for example. But I think in terms of what is deemed by an international body about, you know, how well we protect human rights, there are still many areas that we are yet to even touch. And I think that will continue to be a point of criticism, not just by the local community, but by the international community. Mm-hmm. And I think what's important is to have the political will. It does seem like at the moment there is some kind of opposition or loud noises against your policies. We saw that with the Rome Statute, for example. There will be a U-turn. The government will U-turn and take back their decision. And this kind of song and dance cannot continue forever. If there is a will to introduce reforms, the government must be solid about it, must be sure that their approach to it can be accepted both by people who support it and people who may not be so on board with it. Is there communication and how they communicate these ideas, why they are doing it, is important in terms of convincing people.
Yeah, for sure. And I think making sure that they stick to their message is also very important. But also on that fact of, you know, sometimes the reason being that, well, these laws may exist, but we're not going to use them. But that is simply not enough to say. And that's because if, let's say, that avenue will still be available to governments if they don't review certain acts. For example, we still have the NSC, we still have SOSMA, for example, which today are still used, unfortunately, which today are still sort of discussed about because, yeah, they are still basically a tool that the government can dispense when they want to. So you can't just say that because we've decided not to use it, it's okay to still keep these very archaic and very archaic laws around. And the point really is, if you don't repeal them completely, it will still be able to be used. But also on that point, I think the report also highlighted the fact that we haven't been, or we've been selectively vocal about certain issues internationally. You know, we perhaps have spoken out plenty about Myanmar's persecution of the Rohingya, but then, you know, we haven't really quite said much about what might be happening in other countries, like, for example, China, right? So it's just a mixed bag, you know, and it's quite unfortunate that at this point in time that the reform is slow. But, you know, we can also perhaps hope that this year might be a better one, and hoping that this report might actually pressure the government to be a bit quicker on their feet.
Yeah, and I think the issue of trust in this government to be the ones who will introduce the reforms is also something that they need to work on as well, because they promised a lot of things in the manifesto. They want to get rid of this, and like SOSMA, for example, they promised this and that. But at the end of the day, when it turns out that they U-turn on all kinds of things, or they are slow in their progress, it does, in a way, diminish people's trust in them. Like, are they actually the ones who will be brave enough to introduce these reforms? So I guess moving forward, what Pakatan needs is to make sure they can navigate through all these election promises that they made in their Buku Harapan, and, you know, to make sure that, you know, to manage the expectations of people. Mm-hmm. If something is difficult because of whatever reasons it is internally, or maybe like subliminally or whatever, they need to be transparent about it. If there are challenges to it, explain what the challenges are to manage people's expectations, because the promises that are made, sure, everyone knows that, you know, it's not the Bible or whatever it is, that, you know, it's not something that is word forward, something that will happen under their governance. Mm-hmm. It's still important to manage people's expectations so that the trust that people have in them can still be maintained despite whatever limitations that they may have.
After this, we are going to cross over to, we're going to be speaking to Phil Robertson, Deputy Director of the Human Rights Watch Asia Division, for his thoughts on this. Make sure you stay tuned for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:12. You are with Kelvin and Ayman on the Evening Edition. We were talking about Pakatan Harapan's performance in protecting human rights. This is after Human Rights Watch released a report which said that we're making quite slow progress. So helping us understand this report is Phil Robertson, Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch Asia Division. Phil, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Of course.
So the report details it all, but what are your thoughts on how Pakatan has performed?
Well, I mean, I think it's important to recognize that Pakatan Harapan is probably doing better than most of its neighbors in ASEAN when it comes to human rights. Hmm. In fact, a lot of times when I'm talking to people about Cambodia or Vietnam or Myanmar, or even Thailand, you know, and the situation looks very bad, people say to me, well, tell me some good news. Where's something going right in the world? And I said, well, the situation in Malaysia has certainly improved since the days of Najib. You know, I mean, I remember dozens of people in the course of 2 months being charged with Sedition Act for talking up about 1MDB. So it's quite clear that Pakatan Harapan has changed a lot in terms of taking various cases out and dropping appeals of those cases. But the reality is that we expected much more. And I think the sense of disappointment we have is that much more could be done. We think that Pakatan Harapan, you know, really needs to make a major push now to get to the finish line on some of these reforms.
And are there reforms that you specifically feel should have been made or completed at this point in time?
Oh, well, there's a long list. I mean, getting rid of the Sedition Act. You know, we expected that to happen in the first 100 days. Getting rid of the mandatory death penalty provisions. You know, originally it was, we're going to abolish the death penalty, which we cheered. And then it was like, we're going to get rid of the mandatory death penalty, and which is 11 crimes. And we still haven't seen that yet. Official Secrets Act, Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act, you know, on sharing of so-called offensive and menacing content. These are laws that have continuously been abused by Malaysian government. And the Pakatan Harapan should be putting these laws out of business. They should make sure that no Malaysian citizen ever faces these laws again. This is the sort of real reforms that we wanted to see. You know, they've done some things. I mean, obviously, they got rid of Najib's Anti-Fake News Act, which was passed but never went into effect. And, you know, I mean, it's a very nice counterpoint to have a government somewhere in the world abolishing an Anti-Fake News Act rather than trying to pass one. But the reality is so much more needs to be done, and the urgency doesn't seem to be there to get these things done.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think they haven't been able to deliver on their promises?
Well, I think there's too much putting their finger up in the wind to see which way the breeze is blowing. There's doing too much focus on popularity polls. They've allowed the opposition to basically manufacture arguments against various different provisions of law that and reform proposals that on the face make no sense. So, for instance, going against the ICERD or against the Rome Statute, any dispassionate, impartial analysis of those international human rights conventions and the laws of Malaysia would have reflected that what UMNO and others and the opposition were saying was patently false. I mean, you've got an opposition which is trying to use anything it can to tear down the government. And unfortunately, the government, by not defending these things well has given them the opportunity to do so. And the result is, you know, we were expecting that Malaysia would be much further along in ratifying the many international human rights conventions that they haven't ratified, you know, and also the Rome Statute for the ICC. And none of that's been done despite Prime Minister Mahathir's big promise at the UN General Assembly.
So you've engaged with the government since Pakatan Harapan came into power. What have those engagements been like?
Well, look, I mean, I've met with a number of ministers, and I would say that, you know, in terms of the degree of access we've had, it's like night and day. You know, in the past or in the previous governments, we would get no access whatsoever. We'd basically be shuttled over to one minister who had in his portfolio the mission of talking to international NGOs, and we would only ever be able to see that minister. We have seen, you know, the foreign minister, the finance minister, the comms minister, the AG number of times. We've seen very senior people in the government, and they are very polite. They're very engaging, but they continue to be vague on commitments and timelines. And that's the problem. It's the follow through that we need. We need to see these laws, as I say, put out of commission so that no Malaysian citizen would have to fear these laws again in the future.
Do you think Pakatan perhaps shot themselves in the foot a little bit with the volume of promises they made in the election manifesto? And perhaps it might have been a bit better. They might have gotten a better assessment had they made less radical promises.
Well, I would urge them to promise more rather than less. I think it's important to make the pledges. And I think it's also very important to remember that when this manifesto was being put together, very few people expected that Pakatan Harapan would win. I remember, you know, the days before the election took place, almost no one believed that Pakatan Harapan had a chance. And people were telling me, well, it's just a matter of what the margin victory is for Barisan Nasional. And, you know, Pakatan Harapan surprised everybody. What they realized at that point was that the manifesto was the one thing that they had all agreed on. And so, you know, we expect that Pakatan Harapan will fulfill his pledges in the manifesto. We would wish there were more pledges in the manifesto. And I don't think that, you know, having them promise a lot is the problem. The issue is not delivering enough.
So when they receive criticism about the lack of progress, right, the rationale that is often given by Pakatan is that reform doesn't happen overnight. So have you seen governments in other countries being able to make large-scale advancements in human rights in one term?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, let's look at the United States under Barack Obama after George W. Bush, you know, changing the policy towards the Middle East, passing one of the largest healthcare reform provisions that, you know, guaranteed healthcare to many people across the United States. We've seen Canada under Trudeau in terms of the treatment of Native minorities in that country. You know, New Zealand under the current PM, a number of very progressive things have been done. It's all about political commitment and determination. And I think the problem is that with Pakatan Harapan, they are intellectually engaged on these issues. They believe that these rights issues are important. But they're sort of like, well, do we do it now or do we do it later? And unfortunately, the human rights issues keep getting put aside for something else. What I would say is that there needs to be a firm political commitment to get these big ticket items, particularly the reform of these rights abusing laws, done. And it needs to be done now because time is running out. Most people would say that, you know, the real time to do reform is in the first 100 days or the first 6 months or even the first year of a government tenure. You know, perhaps when we, you know, if there is in fact a transition between the current prime minister, Mahathir, to Anwar Ibrahim, you know, maybe we'll see a second opportunity also for significant reforms to happen. But the reforms need to start, and they need to be brought through. You know, there's not enough that has been done now. I mean, even the big things that have been pushed so far, like police reform, you know, finally getting the IPCMC to be set up, or, you know, we have a proposal now in Parliament, you know, there needs to be a concerted push to get it through. And every one of these things is going to be a difficult time because, of course, we have a completely unconstructive and, frankly, rights-unfriendly opposition in UMNO and PAS.
And upon receiving this report, what action would you like to see Pakatan taking?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned, I think that getting the human rights violating laws off the books pronto is really important. You know, we have no idea what's going to happen, who the Malaysian people are going to select in the next election. But I think it's important to recognize that there is a consensus that some of these laws are archaic. They belong to an earlier era. They are not consistent with Malaysia's international commitments to uphold human rights. And these laws need to go. And, you know, they should basically systematically come up with the list that they've already got and say, okay, when are we going to do this one? When are we going to do this one? When are we going to do so? And you just, they have the votes they need to put it through. And, you know, the law minister, VK Liu, another person who we've met, and again, who was very engaging and very, very supportive, you know, he needs to get the support from the whole of government to get these things done. You know, it can't, no more dilly-dallying.
So one final question. What is your outlook on 2020 for Malaysia in terms of human rights?
Well, I think the outlook in 2020 is, you know, now people recognize that the urgency is now. I expect that we will see some of these major reforms that have already started come to fruition. And the key will be sustaining that those commitments, sustaining the drive to get these things done. And I think that, you know, we in civil society are going to have to redouble our efforts to advocate strongly to, you know, urge the government to, you know, fulfill the promises in the manifesto.
Phil, thanks so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you so much.
That was Phil Robertson, Deputy Director of the Human Rights Watch Asia Division, talking to us about the report that his organization released just today. So if you have any thoughts on how well we've performed in terms of human rights, or if there's anything that you feel Pakatan could do much better in, you can let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call 7733-2900. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.